What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
What up, what up, what up? Welcome back to another edition of 26 Degrees, Miami Hurricanes podcast, football podcast, more importantly. You know, one day we might evolve into some other shit, but let's be honest, most Miami fans don't care about nothing but the football program. All the rest of that shit is, you know, here nor there for the most part. Some people are diehard all around, but that's not the majority of us. So.
Yeah, I ain't met too many.
Nah, it's a couple. I'm here with my people as usual. Boy, Measy, what's up, man?
Man, what's good, man? Another episode, man. Hope y'all enjoying the content, man. Coming at you every week, per usual, you know what I'm saying?
Every week, man.
Make sure y'all check out the instant reaction from last week, too, man. We might do another one this weekend. But make sure y'all check that out.
Yeah, I'm probably gonna actually be in Jacksonville Saturday, but just like I got to work Friday and Saturday, but I was thinking about just sliding up there, just kicking it for the evening, man. Like, actually, I'm a big kid, so like I want to go to Dave and Buster's. I ain't been there in a while, so I was like, I might just slide up there, hang out for the evening, and then come on back the next morning. So, what time do we play that game? Just real quick,
is 8 that o'clock, a 7:30?
7:30.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a late one. Okay. All right. Well, you know, knowing me, my adrenaline be pumping, pissed off at these guys. Or maybe I'll just be having a good time at Dave and Buster's and not paying that much attention. So we'll see how that goes. We may be able to put that together. We'll see how the week plays out. Also join, as usual, our boy X. X, what's up, man?
What's good, family? What's good?
Same old same, man. How y'all boys doing in general, man? How was the weekend for you?
Man, my weekend was good, man. My birthday was Monday, so Saturday, man, I was just cooling, man. The closest Publix to D.C. is about an hour, 15 minutes away, so drove to Publix Saturday morning, picked up my little Publix cake, my little 30-piece hot and spicy wings. That was my first job in high school. That was my first ever job, man, so I'm loyal to Publix, man. Best deli bakery in the world, so drove down. You know what I'm saying? Got my stuff for the weekend. Got pissed off Saturday night, per usual. You know what I'm saying? Hopped on the roll-up Sunday. The no-cap Sunday, man. That was good.
Seeing Silk and
CJ. Y'all go check that out, too, man.
That was good. If y'all listening to this, I think there's a little confusion on that with some people. So just clear it up quick. Anybody can call in on No Cap. We put the link out, but the issue comes is you need to be a Patreon to listen to the replay. So if you ever want to just hop on and just kick your shit, you don't have to be a Patreon. You only have to be a Patreon to listen back to it later on. So anybody checking this out that just ever wants to get it off their chest, yeah, we open to everybody. That link goes public. It's just, yeah, to get the playback, you need Patreon. But yeah, Measy held it down this week. I was proud of my boy.
Appreciate you, my man. What's up with you, X man? How you weekend? How was your weekend?
Man, Saturday was great. Besides the game,
right? For you,
couple of homeboys, man. They had put the get together for me for my birthday.
Yeah, I saw that, man.
Had a bunch of food, a bunch of drinks. We had a good time. I wasn't even mad after the game, to be honest. Because from the first quarter, I immediately saw how the game was going, and I just say, man, let me just drink and be like, fuck it.
Whatever. Definitely my vibes. It's funny because Measy said that when he was doing the show. Like, I kind of cashed it in early. Then we got the pick, and I was like, wait a minute, hold on, a little lifeblood now. Wait a minute, mm-hmm. This could be a game. And then next thing you know, we made it a game, and man, I was in my throwing the phone at the couch. I'm like, just going, what the fuck are y'all doing vibes? Like, I was definitely in that bag after a while. But I still, yeah, I'm like y'all. Like, I wasn't down. I was just like, I predicted a loss anyways. It almost sucked though that they sold me hope, man. I asked that people don't sell me hope, man, unless you got a great return policy. So
yeah, I wanted to get blown out at first because, man, I was like, anything to get Diaz out of here, man. The closer we got, they pulled me back in, man. I was like, I knew I shouldn't have went for it.
Yeah, the old banana in the tailpipe, man. You know how that goes. So the
game this Saturday is very important. Like, the outcome of it is going to decide what's really going to go on.
Does it have to be a blowout loss or just a loss?
I mean, okay, let me see. The outcome of what's going to happen with the program is already basically decided. This game, I don't even know if it got to be a blowout. It's how they lose, you know what I'm saying? Even if they lose, like, because it looks like every loss we're losing is based on the coaching. You know what I'm saying? It's not like the team is just beating us because they better. You know, it's like we're getting our coach and, like, showing effort. So I'm not going to say it need to be a blowout loss.
Because I put us at 2-6, right?
That put us at 2-5.
2-5, okay. I forgot about the bye week.
But, you know, I mean, that's the only positive that I can say about the situation. Like, if it does happen, you know, we know the outcome is definitely not going to be good for certain individuals around the program.
Now, you're wearing all black, too, so.
That's the funeral colors, huh?
Right.
I was thinking the same shit. I saw them preview it. I was like, really? This is what y'all want to do? All black? Y'all really think this is what we need?
When's the last time we won with all black, man? Have we ever won with all black? Or was that?
Yeah, we have. 18, right?
The Virginia game?
2018.
I mean, we probably won in 18, maybe. I don't even recall 19. I mean, I don't know, but to be honest.
I think it was 2018 that we won. I think, didn't we do
Virginia Tech? Notre Dame? Virginia Tech. No, we Virginia won again.
That was 17.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, yeah.
One and three in them.
Yeah, last year was embarrassing in those. So, anyways, we'll get into. I guess let's just start with the recap of what did happen against UNC. We fell 45-42. What was? Wait, is that right score?
45-42.
Yeah, okay. For some reason, I kept wanting to say 48-45, but 45-42. We fell to UNC. It was a team, you know, I guess I'll give my brief synopsis and I'll let you guys go after that. We started off the way we have every game pretty much in the Diaz era. There's been these super slow starts, particularly offensively, that just doesn't give us an opportunity to climb in these games. And at the end of the day, that is what has caused us to lose these games. It's funny because we're actually recording on a Thursday, and I postponed it because I wanted to try to get a chance to sit down, rewatch the game, get some PFF stuff, and kind of dig into a little more detail on that. And I just had a hell of a week, so I actually didn't even get a chance to do that. But I did get a little bit of PFF things. I listened up and read on some other things. And ultimately, the undoing of this team has been slow starts and poor tackling. UNC was just another example of that cycle repeating itself. So we came out. We got outgained ridiculously in the first quarter. Something to the tune of 100. You might know this one off top, Measy. Was it 170?
Man, I think it was something. They had something like that, and I think we might have had
11, eight, I think.
11 yards, maybe.
Something of that nature. Something stupid, right? Don't even matter.
It might have been. We only had
11, 12 yards in the first quarter.
Right. So, once again, we march out extremely slow. We give teams an opportunity to step on us, and then we claw back. So, that was really the story of the game. Poor tackling, slow start, fight back, and lose a heartbreaker at the end, which is the Manny Diaz era like, if you had to just box it up and put a ribbon on it, that's how you would describe his entire tenure here as the head coach. Meezy, how would you kind of wrap that game against UNC? We'll get into a little bit of details in a little bit, but
I mean, you said it perfectly, man. I don't care who you're playing. If you have 2 yards in the first quarter, you're probably not going to win the game. It was atrocious. We always say we start off slow, but we started off like incredibly slow this game. 11 yards. I mean, come on. It was horrible. Besides the pick six we had in the first quarter, I think that might have gave the team some life, but I think we might have got blown out if that actually never happened. Just seeing the 7 points on the board made it be gave the boys some hope. But the starting off slow, man, it's ridiculous. Nobody else starts off slow against us. I don't see a team in the nation starting off this slow. And then we come back, lose the game by three. I mean, that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. The first quarters, it's crazy.
I mean, honestly, it is honestly the craziest shit I've ever seen.
Right, man.
Somebody actually gave me a stat, and I'm going to see if I can find it before we get out of here, but it basically broke down what I had brought up on the roll-up was I wanted to do the research and see the last time that Miami actually went out and scored on the first drive. I ain't even talking a touchdown. I'm talking a 3 point on our first drive. I cannot remember off the top of my head.
I know it wasn't this year.
No, absolutely not this year. I don't even think you got to go back to last. I think it's been the same thing. And if it is, either way, it's way too long. So
it might have been the North Carolina State game from last year.
Maybe the last time it was against Florida with Enos. We even out and got 3 points.
No, maybe. I was thinking the North Carolina State game. I think last year? Did.
I'm going to see. I'm going to see. Somebody I do believe sent me the stat on that. But anyways, X, you want to kind of give your quick little breakdown of what we saw out there?
Horrible tackling once again. Starting out slow. Last week, not giving your freshman quarterback easy throws to start the game off with. You start off with a flea flicker and, like, what the hell was that about?
I just screamed scared.
Man, I have a problem with one particular play that happened, and it grinds my skin. The play that James Williams hit the quarterback in the end zone, and North Carolina whole team attacks James Williams, and no hurricane is there to help him. Like that right there showed me a team full of cowards.
That was crazy watching that live. I was waiting for the boys to come. They never came.
Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? So you're going to go jump in for your teammate and fight for him, but it just didn't happen. We get down. It's like we get down. I don't know. We're not a good team to get down to always try to play comeback. That's not us. We're not going to win.
Especially when you do it every game. Every single game.
Right. It's become the DNA. It's become who we are. I do have the one, let's see. This is a tweet from 8/24/19. So you're going back just a little over 2 years. It says Miami scored a touchdown on its opening drive just two times in 13 games in 2018, right? So you go all the way back to that. That's two scoring drives in 13 games in 2018. The Hurricanes only scored points on their opening drive three times in 13 games in 2019, I'm sorry. So even before he was the head coach, when you're dealing with Rick as a head coach, it's just been snail pace starts. We spot teams, and then we got to try to figure out a way to get back. And I'll say this, and I joke about it, but it's also something, you know, serious at the same time. State of football in Florida, the state of Florida, is laughable right now. Who's the best team in the state?
I mean, maybe Florida because they played Bama close. I mean,
yeah, Florida, right? Florida's 4-3. They're the best at 4-3. They're the best team in the state.
I saw a stat. It said Florida and Miami, I think last, what was it? Last 12 games is 4-8.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, something close to that, right. So Florida is muddled in mediocrity. They'll probably, you know, pull off an 8-4 season again, maybe 7-5, depending on. I'm not that confident in this team, that Florida team I've watched. FIU is total garbage, right? And people go, oh, it's FIU. Yeah, but they also get a lot of Florida talent that, you know, we deem not good enough for Miami. Not good enough for Florida State. Not good enough for Florida.
USF so, got awful.
USF got awful. FAU pretty bad. Cosey's doing this thing. Shout out to Cosey. But again, so the state of football in Florida is laughable, period. It really is. It's just like, bro, our flagship program right now is a 4-3 program that has lost to two unranked teams. One's a basketball school. No, I'm sorry. I take that back. They didn't lose to an unranked team. Wait, what's Kentucky?
Kentucky was unranked
when they beat them. Yeah, that's right. Unranked. I take that back. Yeah, and then they lost to LSU, who wasn't ranked. So, you know, Florida's 2-6. Come on. Florida State's 2-6.
And half of LSU's team wasn't even playing.
Was out. Right.
The year before that as well.
So it's something in the water. It ain't just us, but that still doesn't make it acceptable to me as a fan.
The what UNC, you think it is, L?
Bruh, I don't.
I mean,
I think it's coaching.
Yeah, oh, it's definitely coaching. It's coaching. I told the Gators fans once Mullen gets his players in, it's not going to be the same coaching as he had when he had the other guy players. And it's the same we can say about Diaz. Like, Diaz was all world with another coach players, and then his players got in, and he seems to not know how to coach anymore. I don't know what's that about, but that's what you have. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what the issue with. Well, we all know the issue with Florida State. They just trash. So, man. But other than that, coaching for the most. Like, Dan Mullen is a good coach. I can't take nothing away from him because he does know what he's doing. But our programs are not taking advantage of the state with the talent and saying, let me get the right coaches to produce, to develop these kids. And that's why kids go on to the other schools. They're like, man, I'm finna go to Alabama or Georgia or
right.
I think Mullen and Diaz are both plagued by the same thing as well, with stubbornness. Like, Florida fans crying about, oh, put the young boys in. Miami fans crying about the same thing. Like, Anthony Richardson, right, we all see is better than Emory, but won't put them out there. It's like they don't want to be wrong. A lot of these coaches, man, don't want to be wrong. Don't want anybody to see they're wrong.
With Diaz, I understand it a little bit more, though, because he wasn't as stubborn when it came to, let's say, moving coordinators, right? When coordinators weren't performing, Diaz said, hey, man, you ain't quite getting it done. I'm going to have to let you go. And he did that, and he reshuffled a lot of things, and we all applauded him for it. Then you turn around, and you brought back a team that was a very senior team. You brought back guys that did make plays that all of a sudden aren't making plays. So I kind of get where he was going. He kept trying to put some trust in them, but it was a little too late because his style was to, instead of instilling fear, he instilled confidence. And I don't necessarily knock it. It just didn't work out. You know, when we were a truly great program, these guys were confident in themselves, but they also feared their position would be snatched. I don't think these guys who've underperformed really feared their position being snatched. Perfect example was Bubba Bolden coming out and said he's playing good.
And Diaz backed him up and said he's playing well.
I didn't see that, but okay, either way. All right, so yeah, actually, you further illustrated my point.
I might be wrong. I could have sworn I saw Diaz say that in the press conference, Bubba's playing well.
That would be nuts if he did, but let's say he didn't. It don't matter either way.
Bubba, I don't know said, if he said. I don't know if he. I don't think he said he's playing well. He just said that. He's playing good enough to be on the field. I guess
that's playing that well.
He's playing well, but he's playing good enough.
Yeah, I mean, he's playing good enough to be on special teams. He's doing that. I'll give him that. He could probably run down and maybe hit somebody. Maybe. I don't even trust him on special teams because I don't trust his angles. You know, I at one point was the president of the Bubba Bolden fan club. I resigned that. Bro, I'll tell y'all right now, I deleted all my Bubba Bolden tweets because I ain't want nobody to pull them lies up on me. Yeah, them shits had to go. I was like, bro, this cat has let me down tremendously, man.
Yeah,
like,
his angles are horrible, man. Even last game, like, he's running into our own players.
Bro, Coach Sturdy made that clip, right, where – if y'all not familiar with Coach 30, look him up. Funny dude, does a college film breakdown spoofs where he's, you know, sitting in the room as a coach. And I think this is our second one, if not third. I know it's at least our second. And he said it exactly like I said it. I was watching that game, running backs coming through the hole, and to Corey and Bubba are in position to make the play. To Corey's a smaller guy. Bubba pretty much pushes Corey up to make the tackle. Corey doesn't make the tackle. And then Bubba's left in the trails. And I watched that live action, not even on the replay of the touchdown, and went, what in the fuck are you doing? That's when I threw my phone. Mm-hmm. That's when I lost it. I was like, I cannot believe this shit. You just stood there and watched him run by you.
I don't think he wanted to hit him.
I don't either. I don't. He pushed the Corey. Go back and watch it. It's like, bro, that's your tackle to make. You a safety. You a Miami Hurricane safety. Mm-hmm. Do you understand the tradition that is at that position? At Miami? Safety? Come on, bro. Throw Sean Taylor out the window. Throw Ed Reed out the window. It's still a rich tradition. Two of the best ever.
Mm-hmm.
You don't stand in that room, man. You can't even get
Benny Blaze.
Yeah, this is too much. It's too much. And you got the nerve to put a Hurricanes jersey on, play safety, and play that terrible, play that soft, take these angles, tackle so poorly. You're not of the pedigree, bro. I'm sorry. You're not. You ain't Jamal Carter.
Right,
Paul Carter would balled out on you,
right,
at the collegiate level.
Jaquan Johnson,
you're none of these guys.
Rayshon Jenkins,
Deion Bush,
right? You're none of these guys. And he got the nerve to say he's playing well and coaches are scheming around him. I said it, and I actually saw it in one of our private chats. Yeah, they're scheming around you, right at your ass, because they know you're gonna do the wrong thing.
And then in his little press conference, he said he's playing well, and he thinks offenses try to basically, like, scheme away from going at him and stuff. And
no, he
like,
got man. It wrong. They scheme at
yeah,
him.
Man.
That, yeah, man. Yeah, that's exactly the point. Yeah, they are scheming with you in mind. They go, hey, go at Bolden. Go at 21. Go at him. Go at 21 and 26. They going to screw it up. Don't even worry about it.
And this tackling, Larry on the X, watching these games, these boys are, like, throwing themselves at these players, they're not opening their arms up
at
like
all.
The Sam Howell, the little ping pong when he was the pinball machine running into the end zone. I'm like, a quarterback.
And that's all he did. He just bounced off of people.
You're allowing a quarterback to do that. Like, he didn't even fall in the end zone.
No.
Like, upright, got hit four times. Like, that's crazy. No wrapping up, just throwing themselves like. And it has to be being taught at this point.
Right.
I saw James Williams doing it. He's a freshman. We always say,
I'll allow a freshman to make those games.
Right. But I'm just wanting to say that because we always say the freshmen are good, and then the longer they stay in the system, they regress. When I saw James Williams do it, I'm like, we're not practicing tackling. Or if we are now, it's too late. We're not. There's no way we're practicing tackling. Or if we are, we're doing the wrong drills. It's crazy.
My boy brought it up to me that at Texas they had the same problem when Manny was the quarterback or the DC. Same thing. Guys just weren't wrapping up. Some talented guys weren't tackling well at all. So it's something wrong with, you're right. It's not being coached. I don't care what he's gonna tell me. You know, it's not being coached, because they get out there, they throw a shoulder at guys, and then the guy bounces off and keeps running. It's just bottom line fact. You know, UNC in that game, we got boy Chef Maul backstage. We're gonna get him on in a minute. He on the phone call, but we're gonna get Maul in. He's gonna kick it with us again in a second. But if you look at the UNC game, there wasn't a lot that they did particularly, you know, that much better than us. They had the ball a little bit longer at 34 minutes to our 26. Total yards was pretty close, 421 to 382 our favor. Passing yards, 264 to 154 our favor. They got us pretty good in rushing, 228 to 157.
We had more first downs.
Yeah, we got 30 first downs to their 23. Penalties was pretty even. We had 9 to their 10. Now the biggest killer, which, you know, we all know, turnovers. We turned it over 3 to their 1. Van Dyke threw some really bad picks. Like the kid, I think he still is going to be developing and getting better. I think he's a gritty dude. I think he's a ball player. I don't think there's no quit in him. So I like that about him. He's just, you know, he's got to continue to develop and get it to the next level. And then
all these stats we're seeing for us, it's basically second half stats as well.
Well, yeah, because a lot of it's catching up, right? Exactly. Right. Sam didn't kill us in the air once again, 17 for 26, 154, a couple of touchdowns and a pick, took 4 sacks, and but he did well on the ground. He averaged almost 6 yards on the ground, and 2 touchdowns there as well.
Yeah, he had 98 rushing yards, man.
Almost cleared 100.
Two rushing touchdowns. So he had 4 total touchdowns.
Yeah, 4 total. We finally adjusted the downs in the second half. He had 10 in the first, and then he only had 1 in the second. You know, we finally bracketed him and got him out of there. But again, what's taking so long? You know, and Diaz is the DC, right? So what are we waiting on? But, you know, it was closer than I thought. But again, the results were the same. The formula was the same. We're going to get Maul on real quick, man. Let Maul see what he want, you know, get in here and kick it with us about. Hold on, Maul. I'm about to add you right now, bro. There you go. You live with us, man. What's up, Maul?
What's going on, fellas? How y'all
What's
doing?
What's up, my boy?
Good? What's happening?
Yeah, you good.
Man, the best way I can describe the frustration is I compare Manny Diaz to a boxer, right? And championship boxers got 2 styles. They either knockout artists like a Mike Tyson, or they're just a technical dominating fighter like a Floyd, right? And the program's neither. We're not technically sound, and we're not going for the kill. It's almost like we're that boxer that gets knocked out the first 7-8 rounds. And then at the end of the fight, it's like we're trying to get a knockout. And it's like, why do we have to adjust? Why are we never coming to the game forcing the other team to make the adjustment? Why we got to be down 14, 20 points every week?
That's a good point, man.
Every week. And every week I got to listen to Manny tell me they didn't show us that on film. And like I said before, they're not supposed to, Manny. They're not supposed to show you what they're going to do, bro. They're supposed to show you some tendencies, that things that work. But every week I should be throwing in new wrinkles, because I know you got film to study, bro. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, and it's both sides of the ball. And it's like we take so long to make these adjustments. And it's like if we practice to prepare for the adjustment ahead of time, you know, like anything in life, not just coaching, but just you kind of have a strategy. But there's no anticipation. There's no we expect them to do this. It's like, oh, they've been doing this. And a coach probably like, well, we're about to play Manny Diaz. Let's just try something new. We'll be up 21 before they realize it.
Exactly. That's definitely, I mean, coaches have to see that. I mean, that exactly, they have to see that.
See, this is the one thing that we've never really liked in Miami is speed, no matter how bad a team we've had. So teams are going to play us differently because they know, hey, when we play Miami, they may not be the most physical team, which we aren't right now, but we still have, throughout all the, you know, the 18, 20 years of mediocrity, we've been a fast team. They know that.
I don't know about this year though, man. Our team don't look as fast.
Maybe
but if they look fast last year. It's the same players though. So
and okay, so let's say maybe we lost a step. We still faster than who we play for the most part. Outside of Bama. Who do we go up against that we play so far this year that we can legit say, I don't know, man. Them boys is as fast as or faster than us. I don't think there's anybody.
Everybody we played, we got way more talent than.
Right.
We should be faster than. We should be more physical than. I don't care about the Virginia, the Michigan State. We should be more physical as far as how old our team is supposed to be. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But exactly. It looks like we aren't. And when they moved Pope to cornerback, a reason moving Pope to cornerback was because we were slow at cornerback.
So I kind of felt like some of that was just maybe try to keep Pope or something. I feel what you're saying, though.
Nah, I mean, yeah, keep him, but still, like, we was literally slow at cornerback. Like, our fastest corners
what?
Diaz.
That's my biggest beef with the state of the program. To me, after that Oklahoma State game, end of the season, you did not win the Coastal. You did not win a conference championship. You did not win. You did not go to New Year's Six Bowl. So there was no, well, we're bringing this back because they made it this far.
Didn't win the bowl game.
Yeah. So to me, going into the spring, into the summer, it should have been all these spots are up for grabs. Let's go. No spots promised because we didn't bring home anything. We didn't win anything last year. We won some games, but we weren't even the Coastal champ. So to me, going into that first game, like I said, when we had the Alabama game, you play more veterans. But to me, there should have been some attrition too, and there should have been some linebackers added from the portal because there were linebackers available. And from what I heard, there was the kid who I think he went to Tennessee, and he said he wanted to go to Miami, but Manny told him he needed to stay for two years.
We turned down Jermaine Johnson, who almost leading the nation in sacks, and let him go to Florida State. We turned down him for DeAndre Johnson, whose name I don't even know if I heard his name being called yet.
No.
Turned down that Vanderbilt linebacker who looked pretty solid. Turn him down.
But no, we didn't turn that. We didn't turn him down. He didn't want to come.
Okay.
He was never coming. Like, that was a Bama thing from the jump. So
No, not the Tennessee linebacker. There was a linebacker from Vanderbilt.
Okay.
Yeah, there was a linebacker from Vanderbilt. Turn him down. I think Manny told him a little 2-year thing as well, which I don't understand that 2-year thing. Like, what does that mean? You know, you're not that great recruiting, so I need him for 2 years. Like, I don't know what that was about.
The problem is Manny prepares like he has a 5-year contract. Like, I got time, so I'm thinking 2 years ahead where it should have been every year you got to win because in college football, you never know. If Manny would have been like, hey, we trying to win it all this year, the ACC's for the taking. But he's making decisions to where, well, I'm riding with my guys, and it's like your guys is going to get you out of town because – now they're not stepping up. I don't understand why 6 or 8 made the team past the summer. I thought maybe them boys was trying to get a degree, and that's why they were just hanging around the program. That was my thought. Maybe they're trying to get their degree. No, seriously.
I feel you. I'm laughing because it's crazy. It's
nice, right? That's what you go there for. But now that they're leaving now, it means that they were holding on to something that shouldn't have been available by the summertime.
And they were being told –
You gotta look at it like this. They've been in the program for 4 years. So for 4 years, they watch older guys play even when they mess up and not get taken out the game. All of a sudden, when they're not playing, they saying, well, hold up. Y'all didn't do this to us when we was freshmen. Y'all didn't let us play. Y'all kept the older guys in. So now, we can't play? Oh, hold on. You know what I'm saying? Now it looks like bad on their behalf, but they said no. When we was freshmen, we didn't get in because the older guys was playing, even though they was messing up.
Wiggins and Pope made their own bed with the drops and stuff, but I feel like Diaz did them a disservice as well, even like allowing them boys to come back, even having them think, okay, you guys have a shot. Because, like, Pope, I don't think even had a target this year. And, like, that was a disservice. Pope could have been somewhere else. So, as a head coach, you're doing them a disservice, even allowing him to come back, knowing he's not going to get any burn. That's a disservice.
That, yeah, I agree. I think that's what made it crazy about Pope and Wiggins, especially. Like, to me, I thought the writing was on the wall. They went and got Rambo. What you getting Rambo for? We don't need Rambo if you got Pope and Wiggins, right? If Pope and Wiggins are who they're supposed to be. And that's why I said, why don't they just go with Banner to Utah? Like, people go, I don't know about to go to Utah. It ain't about going to Utah, but it's about playing football for a few months. And then moving on with your career, moving on to your future. I wasn't running them off out of a disdain for them personally. I thought both of the I spoke on it on Roll Up. I felt like when you were talking about Pope, it was totally mental. I think Pope has all the tools to be a good wide receiver. I really do. I think he has mental blocks that are preventing him from being the guy that he could be. So I thought, hey, fresh start, man. Just go somewhere new. Focus in on football. It's just a couple of drops. You get those drops under control, you actually have the potential to be a solid football player. That's just really only his big deficiency. It's pretty big, though, because it's a lot of drops. But maybe just a fresh scene will get you over that and you'll clear your head. It's a lot of pressure being a Miami kid playing in Miami. You know, everybody ain't built for it. Now, Wiggins, I said, and I can't change my stance. He's just soft.
Right.
Soft as hell. The minute you touch Wiggins, he going down.
I still remember that Clemson game when we were actually still in the game in the third, I think the third quarter, and King kind of threw a jump ball, and he just got, he didn't even get pushed. He just fell, like, with a little shove. Right. And I'm like, besides that deep post, besides that deep post against FSU, man, he didn't do anything.
And if they would have touched him in that game, he would have failed.
Right.
So, you know, these are guys that I honestly wanted to see leave because I saw the writing on the wall. I knew they weren't starting.
They didn't get too much bigger since they came in, none of that.
It was no way I thought they was getting any burn. I knew Restrepo was coming in the back of Harley. I mean, this is just the word. This is just from the word on the streets. You can get this from the tweets. This ain't me having no inside information.
Keyshawn Smith.
Right. I was like, bro,
Had Harley. Then we brought in Rambo. Where's the playing time?
Where you going to play? There was nothing there for him. So, you know, best of luck to those guys. They haven't officially entered the portal from the last I looked.
They're
not on the roster, though, yes.
They never came out and said it, which was
odd. Yeah, they just taking classes. Probably going to end up graduating first in December. And then they'll hit the portal.
I don't know what the interest is.
Well, they're getting a Miami degree, so.
Yeah, good for them, man.
Right. Getting a top 25 degree. Mar, what did you take from the game that you like from Saturday?
Jalen Knighton. Having a guy, when you put the ball in his hands, coaching don't matter. He just can make a play on offense. That's the old Miami football, man. Just put the ball in the playmaker's hands. That's how it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be, you know, it's just supposed to be run the plays, get the ball in their hands, keep it moving.
We got to start passing him that ball too, man. I know he got suspended these games, but having one catch so far, that doesn't make any sense, man. Knighton's an all-purpose back. He's a playmaker. Throw him the ball on them swings and stuff.
It's going to be his show now for sure. So hopefully, you know, that can get better. Hopefully Van Dyke can get settled and start a game consistent. You know, get some passes and also, you know, hopefully they can, you know, coach it up so he knows what he's going to do. Like, I think
it seemed like our O-line only plays good in the second half. It's like,
the whole team only plays good in the second half. Well, I know what you mean.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They're like that boxer who needs to be down to the last, like, they're not in the locker room. Like, I wish I could walk from the locker room to the sideline pregame. I wonder if it's casual or they hype because they don't. It just feels like it's just casual.
I don't even know if it's the players.
They be hype.
Yeah, I don't even know because I will say this: the players never gave up Saturday. No, when was it? 34-17. They could have gave up and couldn't have came out after halftime. Them boys didn't give up.
But that's the frustrating part. And that's on coaching. I got a simple rule in sports, especially football and basketball. I say coaching is 4 points. Whether it's basketball, to me, strategy makes up 4 points. Like now, if you're a coach and your team loses by 21, the other team had better players than you. You lose them by 2 points, 3 points, 4 points. That's X's and O's. That is chess moves that wasn't made. So for me, it's like we're getting off to these bad starts and we're playing twice as hard for the rest of the game just to not win. We haven't led in the last 2 weeks, but should have won both games. I've never seen two games like that where you never led, but you walked away feeling we should have won the game.
That's frustrating.
Formula, yes, that's Manny Diaz formula, man.
And I guess that's why.
Look at the bowl game last year we lost.
Yeah.
Should have won that one.
What was it, 21-0 first quarter?
21-0 first quarter. So it's beyond a trend now. It's just what it is. It's not even, you can't even call it a trend. It's what it is.
It's what it is.
Yeah. It's reality.
Yeah.
It's the state of the program under his tutelage, under his leadership. So that's why him lasting even throughout the season is ridiculous. It doesn't need to play one more game. We know what it is. And this year is just that much worse. We are 2-5.
I want to know why why he's still coaching. Like, I don't understand.
Because there's not a plan in place right now. They wasn't expecting this.
Nobody.
Well, he's still coaching. Basically, they want to make the AD hire first before they fire Manny Diaz.
So you really think Blake James is gone? Because I saw Chris Stock on 247. Blake James was at the Miami exhibition basketball game the other night. Chris Stock was there. He actually went up to Blake James and wanted to ask him. He said, I wanted to ask you a few questions about the football team. And Blake James declined. He was like, I'm here for the basketball game. So I was like, is that just you not wanting to comment, or he knows?
He know what time it is.
Yeah.
Him and Diaz know what time it is. Diaz,
he knows. Is that why you think Diaz was standing on the field after the game by himself, just staring? Or you feel like a lot of it was the Mac Brown? Like,
it's a little something that I heard, and it might have some truthfulness to it, is, Diaz's dad being still having political connections is probably the only reason why he's not fired so far yet. And that's the only reason.
I can see that.
I think that's how he probably got the job in the first place.
I think he got the job because Blake don't know sports. So Blake got excited by our resurgence at defense because it was god awful for a very long time. Mm-hmm. Then Manny makes some very simple adjustments, moves back to, 4-3 attacking style defense, which is a Miami style of defense. And, we had the turnover chain. It was exciting. And, he hired like a fan. He goes, oh, yeah, if we just put Manny in, everything will be good. So that's what he did. He hired like a fan. That's not what you need at a position of power to really make these big decisions. I tell people all the time, he didn't do that to sabotage us. He just doesn't know what he's doing. He just didn't know. So he got geeked up. He got excited. Oh, let's just bring Manny back. The truth was, you could have got Manny regardless. So why didn't you do it? Why didn't you do a search?
Yeah, I said on the roll-up show Sunday, all the Miami programs are awful right now. Baseball program, basketball especially. Larrañaga, he's like walking with two canes. He shouldn't even be on the back. He shouldn't be coaching that basketball program right now. Like, he's not even... It seems like he's not even involved. Like, he's just letting everything be.
Baseball's underachieving.
Baseball's definitely underachieving. Baseball, we got four titles, man.
So he's just not good at that. He's just a fundraiser. Keep Blake James. Just get him away from sports. He can get y'all money still. Just get him away from the sports program. That's all.
Man. Ma, you got anything else to give us, my boy?
I'm about to get up out of here. My only thing is this going to be I just hope the players just stay together. I hope that there's not the young core, those last two classes. I hope regardless of what happens with the coaching, I hope that those guys just stay together. And, and other than that, just, man, everybody who's upset got a right to be in terms of fans. The product needs to be better. needs to be better prepared. We're losing games. We played Virginia, North Carolina, never had to lead for 2 weeks, but should have won both games. And, you know, I feel the fans, we deserve better. But those kids, I just hope that they get better because they deserve better too.
I like that, man.
Couldn't agree more. And I heard an interesting take on this. I don't, if I can think of the credit who I should give, I will note. But it made sense to me too. One of the problems I think we have in the program that they brought up, and I was like, you know what, that makes a lot of sense, is the transfer portal has become more of a way of life for us as opposed to a Band-Aid. So I think what you're looking at is that's why Manny said I need 2 years, because he's trying to get rid of mercenaries. I can't just have guys coming in, having one great year, and then hauling ass. So you use me for a year, and what did you give back? Now I really need you for two to really get what we're trying to be.
That's a good point, L.
Right. So what you have, and I think that's what you are seeing, is with the young guys, there is a camaraderie. There is a, hey, we came in this together, bro. We came to fix this thing. I'm not quitting. You ain't quitting on me. I'm not quitting on you. There's a difference. We grew up together, you know, in our first year, second year together. When you bring in, when you bring in these guys that are just mercs, basically just coming in to get their draft stock up and then they out, well, it can be a little disruptive. You know, it's not like that in Bama because most of what they've got is built through recruiting. And then they plug in a few guys here and there to plug a weakness here and there. That's what that needs to be for us. It's not right now. At this point, especially right now, the class we're looking at right now, it is going to be totally dependent. Our next season, our next class is going to be totally dependent on transfers.
And that affects the class from 2 years from now as well.
Right.
There's no continuity, right? It's
yeah, there's no continuity. Yeah, right.
Right. My bad. Yeah,
it throws it off. It throws it off. Speaking of, hey, thank you for kicking with us, Maul. Maul had to get up out of here. We thank you. We appreciate you kicking with us for a little bit, man.
Yeah, Boss Dog Casino, where y'all can follow him on Twitter, man. Die Hard Canes fan, brings real good insight.
No doubt. I want to get into a little bit of recruiting news, what little we do have. So, X, you want to kind of fill us in a little bit on what is in general going on in the recruiting scene right now?
Recruiting is dead. I mean, it's, I ain't gonna say it's dead, but it's not going well. I can't say it's not going well because most of our targets were going to commit in December anyway. But a lot of them don't know what's going on with the program. They don't know if coach is going to be back. So you see everybody quiet, not saying they going to commit anymore. They committing in February. It's like three of them that say they're going to move their commitment to February now. So it's kind of like quiet a little bit. But I would say they just waiting on to see what's up with the coaching situation as far as if Manny comes back, if certain position coaches come back, stuff like that, so on and so on. So,
let me ask you this real quick, man. Do you think a change would be to our benefit or our detriment right now? Like, if we were to bring in a new regime, no matter who it was, I won't say no matter who it was. Let's say we bring in a guy that the kids go, okay, yeah, I think that's a good coach. It would be to our detriment, or are these kids going to be like some of the kids at LSU that were Orgeron commits that are going, I don't know, because I really committed because of Coach O?
Well, I think for the most, if it's the coach that everybody's hinting towards, it's going to be good for us. Because for one, he's a good recruiter. So if you get a coach who can't recruit, he has kids that he can automatically get in contact with that could say, hey, oh, he's at UM now. I don't mind going to UM now because he's done. You know what I'm saying? So,
you're talking about Mario, right?
Yeah, Mario.
Okay.
And then the crazy thing is he's recruiting some of the kids we want, we going after. You know what I'm saying? So it's like a no-brainer right there. But the only bad part, well, I won't even say this bad part. I would say it depends on who he hires as DCs and offensive coordinators. You know, but for the most part, we only got 8 recruits, so it ain't like that's a lot. You know what I'm saying? To be saying, oh, boy, well, they got a new coach. Let me decommit. You know, most of them kids want to come in early. You know, so that's why I was saying I think it's important for UM to announce something sooner than later. Like, if the season is over and we don't go bowling, or even if we do go bowling, announce it. You know what I'm saying? Announce it where you can make that push for Mario, you can make that push for Lane or Mark Stoop or whoever. You know what I'm saying? Instead of just waiting. Because if that's the case, you'll wait for your class to sign in February. Most of everybody going to be unsigned already.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So when you were saying earlier, we're going to rely on the portal, that'll be it.
Yeah, I think no matter who we get, the portal going to be it at this point just because it's so late. You know, early signing day is in 2 months.
Yeah.
A little less than.
There's still some big targets we can hit.
Because anything happen on that signing week, you could get 10, 15 kids to say, man, we going. You know, like I said, you get the right coach.
Yeah, the right one. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I put it this way. I ask you this because, all right, out of all of our big targets that we were lining up, you know, and we planned on being, you know, at this point, we're 4-2. We intended on being a 5-1 team right now. It was what the plan was. And that's not the case. So every big target we had, I don't think any of them have us at 1. I think maybe a couple have us at 3. So, yeah, I would say the time for the change is now. But who do you get, right? Because it's a weird spot in time to try to bring somebody in. Like, you tell me if I'm wrong, I don't think any of the big fish, and unless they push things back to February, we ain't got no chance to land none of them in December, right?
Well, Stewart pushed it back to
the only one I can say we might have a chance with will be Najalik Kelly, because I think he's the only one that's him and Wesley, the only two I think that's Wesley. I think Wesley was supposed to sign or commit in November. He might push it back to December. Najalik Kelly, he's another one that's going to December. Shamar Stewart, he's February.
Yeah, Wesley used all his officials already, too.
I'm hearing Anthony Lucas might even be February, or it might be signing day. Julian Armello, the offensive lineman, he's going to February. Who else?
General consensus you're saying is we get the right guy, then we got a chance to reel those big fish in February.
Man, we get the right guy, but you will want to get the right guy before December, before that right. December 17th signing day anyway.
Right.
Just say we get those 4 boys. That's only what? Put us at 10?
12.
I mean, but this is UM. So it's not going to be hard to get kids. You know what I'm saying? It's just our staff are, you know, they're going after certain kids. So they're holding them spots and saying, well, hey, we still want these kids because, you know, we think we deserve them. And then them kids don't come, then that's when you let the plan B's and the C's pop. You know what I'm saying?
And so I didn't want to hit that route because those plan B's and C's are players who, if a new coach comes in, can end up transferring in 2 years, and then we stuck all over again hitting the transfer portal.
I mean, when you always get a coach in transition to another team, you always gonna have plan B and C players. That's just natural. That's why the portal has entered, because now you don't have to take the plan C players no more. You know what I'm saying? You might just take 2 or 3 plan B players who, they not really supposed to be here, but we're going to take them and we'll just develop them into plan A players, stuff like that. But like I say, it all depends on the time frame that you want to decide to make any type of announcements. And then the coach who they bring in. You know what I'm saying? If just say, for instance, you want to go after Lane Kiffin and Lane Kiffin becomes the coach, if you're an offensive player, you immediately want to jump on the Lane train at UM. You yeah. know what I'm saying? Just yeah, imagine Lane Kiffin offers in the ACC. It's going to be deadly. Or if you don't go after Mark Stoops, you're a defensive back, you immediately want to jump in that. You know what I'm saying? Because Mark Stoops going to make sure his defense is good.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it depends on the timing and the coach. You know, with Mario, he just an all-around good recruit. He can recruit on both sides of the balls. So
let me ask you this, and we'll get out of recruiting. We'll step over into NC State preview and get up out of here. Is there any B or C guys that excite any of you?
The Henderson twins.
The Henderson twins?
Okay, yeah, the Henderson twins. And I won't say they are B or C because they got A talent. They got A talent. It's just
that. But board, technically, they're still B and C, though.
The board was just so full.
Right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's opened up now because we lost Trayquan Fegans.
Him and then Singletary. He's
going to Georgia.
Yeah, I think so.
We was all in for Singletary, man. But you know, it's a situation that's going on with a coach and another coach. Well, I don't think Singletary is going to come anymore.
Do you think T. Rob's leaving regardless?
Well, if Diaz stays, I think T-Rob gone no matter what. Like, he's not.
I was hearing there's a coach on the staff who's gone regardless if Diaz stays or not.
Yeah.
Well, no. If Mark Stoops comes, T-Rob stays. If Mario Cristobal comes, T-Rob probably stays. If Lane comes, T-Rob probably stays. Like, T-Rob's not going to stay with Manny Diaz. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah, because you're right.
But back to your question.
That turn stinks.
yeah. But back to your question, the one Plan B player who I've been bragging about since last year. I thought you should have jumped on it immediately. Mike Jackson.
Okay.
Receiver from Palmetto.
Receiver, yeah, right.
A speed demon. When he get the ball in his hand, he's going to make a play. I don't understand this thing that Miami has with small receivers. Like, man, if you can play football, you can play football. I don't care if you're big or you're small.
And you know what's funny about that? Our arrogance with that, right? We'll have that arrogance, and then we let Tutu Atwell kick our ass.
And
we let Tutu walk right out our backyard. Then he come back and kick your ass. I mean, even though we won the game, it's like, yeah, but Tutu ball.
And he's in the NFL. The same thing with Elijah Moore.
Right. We saw Saturday. Josh Downs isn't big. What, he had 11 catches on us?
Right.
And Edison got a receiver. Nathaniel Joseph Joe, we call him JoJo.
The boy going to Clemson.
He going to Clemson. Why? Yeah, because you know what I'm saying? Oh, he's too small.
He's too little.
What the hell is this?
Yeah, then when he kick your ass, he ain't gonna look that little then. He gonna look like a big man on campus.
Like,
then.
What do you mean he's too small? When he get the ball in his hand, he makes a play. He's like,
electric
that's all
is electric,
that matters.
Man. Electric is electric. When guys get out there, they do their thing. They hoop. They ball out, man. You gotta give them that credit and this arrogance of, oh, well, we can pick this and that. Where you get that from? Who told you that?
I got one more thing about recruiting I want to ask Ed and you. What you think we do with this O-line? Because the offensive line we currently have, Flip, is a project. He's totally a project. What do you think we do with this O-line? Because I don't think any of the big targets we had going to come. Like Ogbo, I think them boys gone.
I mean, they'll eventually grab they're going to grab one more target, and then they'll probably jump in the portal.
Yeah, I like some of what we got already in the fold if they develop properly. I like McLaughlin.
Me too.
Yeah, and
Ryan Rodriguez.
Rodriguez.
The funny thing is the whole O-line will actually come back next year besides Jared Williams.
Right. Yeah, you're right. So, you know, hopefully we can get developmentally better there. But you're right. Recruiting-wise, yeah, I think there is no – again, I think, and that's been my beef, I think we went in way too arrogant. We did not get build the relationships that we should have with, you know, these quote unquote B players. And then now the product on the field is making the people go, ah. So now your guys that you zeroed in on, uh-oh, they looking elsewhere. Now you coming to knock on people's door, and these kids is like, eh, I don't know, bro. Y'all kind of stink, and you coming at me like, I'm not good enough. Like, I was
that's where they messed up at, where they were saying, all right, yeah, we want you, but we want you to commit, and then we don't want you looking elsewhere. You can't tell no kid that you sorry. Kid,
right, like, that backfired. You know that backfired.
So right. I tweeted this tweet, and everybody kind of disliked it and got on me when I was like, man, we should have kept Quan Lee. Oh, nah, we don't want, man, shut the hell up by trade. What you mean, trader? The man ain't commit. He ain't signed nothing to nobody.
Right.
All the man did was gave a verbal commit. How many times do people lie and say something verbally? You know what I'm saying? So
no doubt.
I'm like, we went hard for that, and then look what happens with Tregon Fiends. You know what I'm saying? He gave the verbal commit too, and told him like, yeah, I'm shutting it down. And next you know, goes in business.
Alabama. Yeah, he in Alabama with his little brother, and now he's, you know, Crimson Tide.
You see what I'm saying? So it is what it is, man. I'm just waiting for some type of good news to happen as far as the administration and coaching change. That's all I'm waiting for. I mean,
yeah, man, these players see something's imminent. So I mean, I would hold off too, man.
They right. They're kind of like, let's see. And I mean, you know, these guys for the most part, well, I think honestly, I do think the talent in this class is very good. Flip is probably, like you say, he's an experimental guy, but I still like the upside. Athletic guy like that, you get the right coach, and he's gonna be a baller.
Who
just gotta get the right coach? Flip Carswell.
Oh, the offensive lineman, Flip.
Yeah. You just gotta get the right guy to develop him.
Look at this. Months ago, Isaiah. What is Isaiah? Hashtag or something? How do you pronounce it?
Isaiah Hastings.
Okay, we gave him his first offer or something like. We gave him an offer. Like, we was one of the first ones to give him an offer. Everything is trending towards UM. Now, guess where he's visiting this weekend?
Florida, right?
No, he's visiting Alabama.
I about to say Bama, no? Yeah, Bama yard now.
Because I know Florida was on him, too. Wow, that's crazy.
Right, so we identified the talent. Cool, but you playing so shitty. How you going to convince him? How you going to convince this kid to come in? And now Alabama going, wait a minute, what UM saw? Oh, yeah, that boy pretty good. Bring him on in. Let me get a good look at him.
And another now, project clear. He's another project clear. He hasn't played,
but they can afford it
a lot. He could sit for 3 years. You know what I'm saying?
Right, they can afford.
Play his senior year and be a first round draft pick.
Ball out, you know, so. Exactly. So you know, hey, again, this is my fear, and it came true. I thought we had a terrible strategy coming into recruiting. X brought it up before, and I still agree. I don't know why in the hell we don't have a running back in this class. Doesn't make any sense to me, but here we are.
Let me jump in. I don't know if you heard or listened to Manny Diaz press. What it was yesterday? I think it was yesterday. Hmm. I tweeted about it, and I was like, "What the fuck, Manny Diaz?" He basically said, "Oh yeah, they jumped the scholarship limit to 32, but I'm not worried about the low number of scholarship. I mean, of commits we have right now."
What?
So you telling me we supposed to get 25? We ain't even close. They jumped to 32, and you saying you still ain't worried?
Yeah. Well,
but then he went on to say, he didn't say it in these exact words, but I took it this way. Basically, he expect players, some of the players, to come back. Like they can come back for their free COVID year.
Okay.
I mean, get that man up out of here, man.
And they suck. So
all this is coming from his mouth.
Right. And they suck. So we need him back for what? Who we need back? Who we need back next year? I'll tell you who we need back next year. Give me Zion back. I think Zion can still get tooled up and be a legit NFL guy. I do think right coaching. He can get tooled up that way. Who else?
That's it.
I don't even. Yeah, I don't think it's anybody else.
Zion is the only one. Everybody else can go.
Oh no, nah, Jalen Rivers. I like Jalen Rivers.
Oh well, yeah, freshman. But he ain't. Yeah, but
oh, he's a freshman.
He coming back to God. We talking about.
Would you keep Ja'Kai Clark?
Yeah, I think Ja'Kai can be developed to another level.
But Ja'Kai is a junior. I'm talking about the guys who are seniors.
Draft eligible, yeah, or the upperclassmen.
I'm not really talking about juniors because Zion a junior, you know what I'm saying? But
right.
I'm talking about the seniors could who got leave.
That year. He yeah, could leave. Yeah, Donovan looks horrible. Donovan looks horrible.
We're talking about guys that could leave. Zion would get drafted, don't get me wrong. If he comes out this season, he'll get drafted, but he'll probably get drafted fifth round, sixth round. If he comes back, I think he's a guy that could develop his game to the next level and start moving into that second, third, maybe first, depending on if he has like a phenomenal year. I think he's got the tools to get there. He just needs the proper coaching. So
let me ask y'all this question before we move on to the next subject. Mm-hmm. All preseason, Zion got all the hype about, oh man, he might be a first round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Is it that you can look as bad as the rest of your counterparts when you're playing on an offensive line that can detour your draft stock?
I agree, because he's not getting whooped out there. You know what I'm saying? He's not like he's. I don't think he's playing bad.
He has.
People look at the whole entire line and look at all the sacks we giving up, and a lot of that I feel okay. Zion's not having a good season because the old line at UM is horrible.
Well, you know, that's a good question. I think it's a mixture, and that's why Ed Reed said it, that to really play for your NFL career is to play for your teammates, because if you're winning, everybody's going to look better, period. Point blank, period. So that's why, the joke was, and I mean, it's a little less of a joke now. We used to joke more about Bama bust because, these guys be all that at Bama, and then they get to the next level, and it's like, what happened to such and such? What happened to such and such? Eventually, that stopped being true. But do you know why those guys were going that early? Because the team was balling. So if we're just doing good in general, guys look better. Some guys get to sneak by on the talents of others, to be honest with you. And likewise, you're right. Guys may get buried by the lack of talent from their teammates as well. So both things, could be true. Like, where it's just you're not performing up to a level that's going to get you the look that you want, and your teammates can drag you down. But also if you play well and the team's playing well, everybody's got a chance to just win as a unit. So that was a good question. I like it. Let's real quick get into NC State a little bit, and then we're going to get on out of here. This week, we got NC State at home, Hard Rock at 8 o'clock. NC State is
In our all black on black funeral uniform.
blacking out. You know what I mean? Stadium is going to be probably 40 grand, I'd imagine. Yeah. Maybe.
Oh, 8 o'clock game. I just found out today. I didn't even know. I just found out literally today that they're honoring the 2001 championship.
Oh, yeah. So, that's not good.
I was like, what? Why would we do this game? Like, out of all games, we're going to do this game? Like, man.
That's Miami Football Administration for you.
Well, no, I'm going to tell you why. Because we supposed to be Miami, and that's supposed to be NC State. That's why. It's supposed to be a win.
Man.
But
they played us tough last year, and We Miami. We the new Miami. We not the old Miami. We the new Miami.
Yeah, exactly.
We the new Miami. Like, we the ones who everybody laughing at. Oh, that's Miami. We going to beat them boys. Like, they, you know what I'm saying? So
that's a well-coached team coming in, too.
So, yeah, let's get into them. NC State is, what are they ranked right now?
I think no,
they
ranked number 18. 19.
18. They ranked number 18. Got a top five defense, top some defense.
Yeah, yeah. I believe top 10. I think they're number 6.
They only have a pretty like 200, maybe 290 yards a game.
Running back's right. pretty good. Quarterback's not outstanding, but makes plays when plays they're there.
Well enough. He played really well last week against BC, a team that I thought would give them a much better game than they did. And part of that was he adjusted. The strength of that team was the running game. But in that game, it really was a little more pass predicated.
Man, that quarterback, he might win the Heisman this week off us.
Yeah, he might go for 300, man.
I'm just keeping it real.
I expect that.
Yeah.
So
just keeping it real, he might win the Heisman off that game, because like you say, and Boston College always been a team that plays real good football, fundamental football. You know, you're gonna beat them. You only beating them because that you just way more talented than them.
Now they're still playing good football, because I really like that quarterback number 5 they had last year. He just happened to get hurt, I think, the first game of the season. I think they would be a pretty good, almost ranked team, to be honest, if he was playing. I really like, I think,
I forgot. Oh, I didn't know that guy got hurt.
Yeah, he's out for the season. He got hurt first or second week of the season.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. North Carolina State's going to come in ready, and they already got bulletin board material. I saw the head coaches and the coaches for the team put up the quotes Van Dyke said in the locker room. I felt 50-50 on Van Dyke said. I was like, okay, I like the confidence, but I mean, Tyreek Stevenson said before the North Carolina game, they don't have the wideouts they had last year. They're not going to be as explosive. Mm-hmm. And Van Dyke said this week, oh, this is the same North Carolina State team we put up like 48 points on last year. So what y'all think about those comments Van Dyke said? Because it's all over the North Carolina State locker room right now.
Man, listen, I love it.
That's what I was saying. I was 50-50 on it, yeah.
You're a competitor. I had no problem. Man. Yeah.
You're a competitor. All that being nice and soft.
Right.
Man, you're a competitor. Yeah, nigga, we put up 40-something points on y'all last year. And what?
Yeah, and I agree. I look at it like, what I'm supposed to do? Kiss their ass? That ain't going to make me win the game. I don't win the game because I compliment my opponent. Maybe after we beat them, I say, hey, man, I know I talked a little noise, but hats off to them boys. They really did come out and give us a hell of a game. No shots. But, yeah, I love it. I said in the chat earlier, I don't got no issue with it because – first off, I believe he believes it. I don't think he's just puffing hot air. I think he's thinking, we could beat them. Like, what? I'm not bowing down to North Carolina State. So you ain't going to lose no game. I'll tell you right now, you ain't losing no game because you said the other team wasn't that good. You lose the game because you ain't that damn good, period. So I don't buy into the bulletin board stuff too much. I go, if you can beat me, you can beat me. It don't matter what I say. Alabama could go out every week and talk shit. They just don't, but they can. And I guarantee you, it wouldn't make the other team win. They going to lose because Alabama's better, period. So I liked it. It speaks of the spirit of Miami. I like the grittiness of Tyler Van Dyke. That's something we don't hear no more. You know, I didn't mind Tyreek saying that.
You need them type of players, man, because for them to say stuff like that it's not an arrogance, but it's a confidence that they believe in themselves. You know what I'm saying? The only thing is, you only got one or two players saying it. Like,
right?
If the whole team say it, then you like, oh, okay, well, let's go. You know what I'm saying? But man, when Avante said what he said on Twitter the other day about, he basically told James Williams.
Oh, yeah, he'll never be in that position again, right?
Yeah, it's never going to happen again. I was so damn excited because I said, I want to go to war with somebody like that.
That's who you want, right?
I don't want nobody who turned their back on me when they see a team rushing me. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Man, Streeter was trying to really diagnose the player. Everybody like, oh, man, X, you overthinking. I say, nah, man. James hit the hell out of that quarterback.
Right.
You know, when you hit a quarterback hard, you know they're coming to grab you.
Right.
Immediately. So, for them to turn their backs, that made me feel a certain way. Like, they just ain't care. That's me, my opinion. I may be wrong.
And, well, I don't think you're wrong. But look who he out there with for the most part. Them old heads. We ain't getting shit done. he ain't with his guys. He ain't with the kids he came in with. You know, that's yeah, part man, of what I was talking about earlier.
Eight immediately turned and walked back to the other side. And who else was? It was somebody, I think 23. It was somebody else. They immediately turned and walked back.
Yeah, the older heads. Like I say, the guys that been underperforming. Because he's the only one that's, like, jumped in and stealing snaps like that on a regular basis. But, yeah, I think this week coming against NC State, a very sound, disciplined team. They have 35 missed tackles on the season. We have 100. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we had 30 against Michigan.
I was about to say, we did that in a game.
In a game.
Wait, did we? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was 30 against Michigan.
Yeah, I tried to put it in the past, but just hearing that sounds wild.
Man, what we averaging, like, what, 24, 25 missed tackles a game? Something like that?
It's getting better. It's getting better, but
is it?
It's too high. Yeah.
It was getting better. That's how bad, right? Right. The Saturday was horrible, man. Sam Howell. The way I saw Sam Howell bouncing.
Yeah, if we only miss 10 tackles a game, we're doing better. I mean, that's how bad it's been.
We just need to work on getting it down to 15, 16 right now.
Right. So, you know, we're looking at a team, you know, again, physical, big backs that I think they're going to try to lean on us and run against us. They got a NFL tackle that is actually or projected NFL tackle at left
first
tackle.
First round, yeah.
That's projected to possibly be first round. They're going to roll out some big wide receivers, big physical guys. They did pretty good against us last year. You know, yeah, we put up 40-some points, but we ain't smoke them. It was right there.
That trash quarterback who transferred from Florida State, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Hawkman.
Bailey Hawkman, yeah. That coach is going to out-coach Manny Diaz, so I'm going to the game knowing that. I like that head coach. We're going to get out-coached. We just have to get some big plays, and we got to get some big first quarter plays, man. Yeah. We got to get some drives going. If we don't get drives going first quarter, I don't care if we're down 10 going into the in the middle of the second. We don't get big plays going on in the first quarter, get some drives going, we're going to lose.
Oh, absolutely.
We're going to lose.
Let me ask you this real.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, bro.
I don't think the score will get ugly for some reason, though. I think it'll be a pretty
close game. Yeah, so hold that, actually.
Yeah, all right.
What we're about to do is we're going to do score prediction and get out of here. But I have one quick question before we get out of here, because it was posed to me, and I went, shit, good question. We came in thinking we were going to have a lot of guys drafted off this team. Who gets drafted off this team?
This year?
Yeah, this year.
Tyreek Stevens, if he decides to leave. Zion Nelson, if he decides to leave.
Do you think Tyreek gets drafted?
Yeah. He gets drafted.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, he's a big guy. He's a physical guy. He has the tools. Now, is he going to go high? No, because we're losing.
I don't think he'll get drafted for him to play cornerback. He'll get drafted to be the star.
A nickel or something, yeah.
Secondary, yeah.
But Tyreek Stevens, Zion Nelson, that's if both of them decide to leave.
Right.
Cam Harris first round getting drafted in probably late fifth, sixth round.
Cam towards ACL.
Yeah, I got Cam unrestricted because of the knee.
Yeah.
I could see him going seven.
Oh, you just think talented wise, X? You saying?
Well, the one thing I've known Cam for a long time, and I've watched him practice. I watched him train. Cam would go to the combine and kill it.
Right.
Yeah. I believe that.
Yeah. He would kill the combine, and that's all it takes. You know, you go kill the combine, put up some outstanding numbers. You're gonna get drafted.
Only problem with Cam is I don't know if he's gonna get invited.
Now with the knee, I didn't even think about that, but
because he won't even be able to play in the Senior Bowl.
Right, exactly. That's my thing. He's gonna have to do his thing on pro day.
Them the two I know, Tyreek and Zion.
And that's it.
I hope Tyreek doesn't go.
Maybe Mike Harley. Maybe Rambo
will get drafted.
Oh yeah. But he ain't come up through the gutters with us. So, Rambo okay.
Get drafted. Maybe
neither did Tyreek. That's why.
Yeah, that's true too. Yeah. And then Mike Harley, yeah. Again, Mike Harley, I don't even think, and you said maybe. I don't think Mike gets drafted.
I don't think we have anybody get drafted. I don't think Mike gets drafted neither because he hasn't done diddly squad this season.
Right. I think he's
he still dropped some balls as well. I don't think if the players we do get players drafted, I don't think we have anybody drafted in the first five rounds.
Hell no, nobody gets drafted.
Yeah, exactly. So that's damn.
But
no
to be told, Bubba Bowen will eventually get drafted. He's a 6'3 safety. Somebody's gonna pick him up.
I think he's picked up. I just don't think nobody's gonna waste a draft.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That might be a waste of a pick, X.
This is a waste of a pick. I can get him undrafted free agent. I can do that. No problem.
I wouldn't waste a pick. And I love my Canes. I wouldn't waste a pick.
I mean, it's seven rounds. That's a lot of picks. So
yeah,
there's people who go in the seventh round who made an All-American team. Yep. You know what I mean? The draft is different. The draft, you're not getting drafted because of your name or they don't go like that. And then if we think if Bubba's scared to go and hit, them scouts see that too.
I don't know. Like the man, them combines. Once them people hit them combines.
Yeah, they get excited. Bubba, you're right.
I don't even know how fast Bubba really is. I don't think he'll do good on the jug machines at the combine. I don't know
point
how
is,
well he'll.
This shit ain't what it's supposed to be.
Right. Right. Yeah. We're talking about sixth, seventh round picks right now, man.
Right. It went from sugar
and
to
I
shit
hope
fast.
Tyreek, it would benefit Tyreek with him coming back, I believe.
I think so too. But
unless he maxed out at the outside cornerback spot.
I think Tyreek could benefit for one more year. Anyways, let's get into some predictions, man. Let's get out of here. I'll kick it off. I kind of agree with Meezy. I think this game is going to end up being a little bit closer than I predicted the UNC game. I think NC State beats us, but I think it's probably a little bit uglier a loss. Again, I think we lose this one 27-34 NC State. That's my prediction.
I'm gonna go ahead and throw mine out. They did beat Boston College 33-7. I believe Boston College was 4-2 after that game. That was a respectable Boston College team. They went to and dominated. It's a night game for us. We were in the black jerseys, so I'm going to say 31-17. I don't think we scored too much on them.
31-17.
All right. I guess I'm going to go ahead and be the difference. I actually think we're going to beat them boys, man.
All right.
I think we're going to beat them boys. For some reason, it's always a game a year that we're not supposed to win, and we just go ahead and beat them.
I can see it. I
think this is the game they're going to come out, man, and have probably played. Might finally play a full game, and we win. I say maybe 31-21. You win.
All right. Hell yeah, I take it. Listen, I cheer for us every week regardless. I tell people all the time. I don't give a damn how I feel about how shitty we playing. That's still my squad. I'm still going to cheer for them. And I can see that happening too.
I can see it. Point. I was thinking kind of like that too, but I just can't say we're going to win until
we win.
Yeah, until we win, man. I was like that against Florida State when Florida State beat us 7 years in a row. After that fourth time, I would literally tell people like, man, I think it's a L until I see different. I try to be a realist. It's an L.
I mean, obviously, we've been bad, but I'm just going off of the feeling, and like I say, it's always that one game that we're not supposed to win, and we win, and this could be the game.
I'm with you.
You got a score or just a win?
No, he said
31-21.
Oh yeah, 31-21. You did.
No doubt. All right, man. Well, we at that mark, man. We've been running, talking our ears off for a little minute. Appreciate y'all kicking it with us.
Anybody want to come? Anybody come to the game? Y'all know I'm tailgating. We're gonna have the battle of the DJs.
Yes, sir.
This Saturday, so pull up West Lot 21, West Orange 21. So
I believe X said he got the hookahs out there Saturday too on deck.
Man, the hookahs coming. The hookahs coming out there.
The hookahs
the liquor,
coming.
The food, the DJs.
Both, Larry. On.
Hookahs and hookahs. I might have a show type. Hookahs and hookahs. Nah, I'm kidding. But yeah, no doubt, man. All right, y'all pull up on X, man. You know it's always a good time, bro. Come vibe out, man. I'm not
actually going to be on the sideline. Oh, my fault, Larry.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, I think the only game I'm actually going to end up making this year is the Florida State game. Yeah, pull up, man. Y'all pull up and have a good time, man.
Yeah. We got to start trying to plan that Florida State game because I know me and my cousin trying to come up.
Let's go.
I gotta holler at the Florida State guys, see how they want to tailgate. You know, man,
no doubt.
They them some boring individuals, so I don't know how that's going to work out. But we'll
see what we can do. No doubt. You got anything else, man?
That's it, man. You know,
man, go Canes, man. Go Canes.
Go Canes. Go Canes. Okay.
Listen how we sound. Well,
another big game high school this week. St. Thomas played Dillard Friday night. A lot of big talent in that game. Lots of big talent.
No doubt.
Dillard's where Jalen Brown playing, right?
No, Jalen Brown at Gulliver.
Gulliver. My bad, Gulliver.
Last week they played against Chaminade, and it was a good game, but, you know, Chaminade was just too good.
Yep.
No doubt. All right, man. Hey, thank you for tuning in. Once again, this is 26 Degrees, and we out.
Peace.
We gonna let the band deal with this.
It's 26 degrees.